Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And first things first, guys, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone celebrating. 2026 is here, Sam. And if you thought FPL was going to get any easier going into the new year, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. What a game week. What a game week.
It's been interesting, I think.
Swingy was the word I was going to use coming into this, if that's not too crap a phrase. Swingy. Because I've seen some, what's the word that the kids use in FPL? I've seen some variants this week.
What kids use that?
I've seen some real bad scores. I've seen some unbelievable scores.
I think it's been one of those, isn't it, where if, I mean, it's the same every week, right? If you're on the right player, you get a nice green arrow, of course. But this week, it does very much feel like, even within clubs, if you've gone for the wrong player within that club, you're doomed. Like, and the impact of it has been massive. Then we also have seen some rotation this weekend. We've seen some unexpected injuries this weekend, and all of that has made for an interesting game week. At the end of the festive period. We have got one more game of it. And I think when you are at this point in the season, you know there's going to be rotation. You just hope that it won't affect your team. You hope injuries won't affect your team. And by your team, I mean your actual FPL team, not your Premier League side. But yeah, it's been a...
We're expecting chaos, weren't we? I think, at this period of the season, right?
I think we get it this week a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's been brewing for a few weeks. There's been some chaotic moments. But this game week in particular, yeah, massively swingy. And the first thing I should do is shout out James from Planet FPL. He's one of our patron followers. If you don't watch and listen to Planet FPL, you definitely need to be going and checking out James and Suj over there. Got like over 100 points this week, right? He had Chow, he had
Thiago
and Rice. He had all three. The only thing that was hurting him was that he'd benched O'Reilly, second bench. But of course, O'Reilly then gets the clean sheet wipeout in the 94th minute, which helps him even more. I mean, talk about, you know, almost like a one in an FPL lifetime game week. I mean, absolutely everything went for him. I'm sure, given how good an FPL manager he is, he's had other really good game weeks. But this one, I'm sure he'll talk about it on his pod later this week. And I, for one, will definitely be listening to Planet FPL this week to hear how James feels about that game week. Because unbelievable game week. Then I listen to, I see on Twitter that some people are getting like the 30s. The mid-20s, 30s, low 30s. And it's just like, that is a game week that is polarized a lot of FPL managers, right? Polarized. Like, there's a huge swinging, massive, massive variance. And just as I was coming on, actually, I noticed this was posted in the Slack. I grabbed this off of the Slack, which somebody I think had grabbed off of X, from Tom Dollymore at FPL Barbosa. This sums up this tweet, basically sums up the chaos that we've had this week, right? So for those of you that are listening back to this on the podcast, there's a whole load of bullet points here of madness that's gone on in this game week, right? There's even a doubt over Rice even starting.
Yeah, loads of benchings for it.
Right, loads of people benching Rice. 17 points. So a doubt over Rice's start, 17 points. A doubt over Thiago's minutes for an away game against pretty okay defence. 17 points. And no penalties, by the way, for Thiago. Yeah. Saka expected to start, benched. Ekitike expected to start, not in the squad. A doubt over the Vert start, right? Even I was telling you in the week he's managing a hamstring injury.
He stressed me out massively yesterday.
He absolutely is managing a hamstring injury.
Yeah, yesterday.
Because he went off early again today when we needed him. So he is managing his minutes. But nevertheless, 10-pointer. Gordon getting an offside goal, very, very marginal. As Tom Dollymore says in this X post, you can fall very, very easily on one side or the other of a lot of this variance. And there will be some managers like James that fall on the right side of all of these things. But I think if you've got one or two of these things, if you've got the Rice haul, well done. You stay patient with him. If you've got the Thiago hat-trick, you'd stay patient with him, unlike me that sold him 3 weeks ago for Ekitike. Well done, you get the points. So you would only have needed one or two of these things to probably get a green arrow, but it was very, very swingy, wasn't it? Very swingy.
It was massively swingy. And the reason I've just given a massive sigh is because when you said Vert's got 10 points, I thought, that's not what I've put on the graphic later. And I realised I checked live FPL before the bonus points had gone in and did that graphic. So my graphic is now wrong.
Right,
so when
okay.
we get to the end, my points on my graphic are actually wrong.
Very unlike your graphics to be wrong, by the way. Very unlike
Yeah, but I can't... it also means my rank is... everything's wrong, Lee.
What?
Because
I hope my rank's wrong, because I'm currently on a red arrow, 748. I'm pretty sure that's about
yours
right.
Will still be right, because when I look, and the thing is, I questioned it as well, because when I looked on Live FPL and I was doing these like half an hour, 45 minutes ago, it had Van de Ven on 5 and it had Verts on 7, but it had their bonus points in the thing. But and I was like, oh, that's really annoying, but it didn't have it in the tally. Never mind. I'll correct it live in play as
we'll
we are.
Worry about that, Sam.
We'll worry
when
about
we get
it
there.
As we get there. But my rank is actually a bit better than it suggested, is there?
Right, okay. Well, we'll worry about that when we get there.
A bit better,
let's say, good. We're good. Was it? Is it green at least? Or
no, it's not.
Okay,
don't be daft.
That'd be ridiculous. Let's say hello to a few people. Let's say hello to Nicole McCarthy. Must be happy with that one, Nicole. That was a great result for your lot today. Very, very good indeed. John Robert Knight is here. Henry CP. Very nice to see you, Henry. Honest FPL. Very nice to see you. George is in. As usual, good to see you, George. Would have enjoyed the game at Brentford. I'm assuming you went to Brentford today. Well, Brentford
were
away,
weren't they?
So, yeah, probably not.
He was busy in the Slack today, so I don't think he was there. I think he was I don't think he trekked all the way to Sunderland. That's a bit
that's
of a
mission,
not Sunderland.
Yeah.
That's where they were playing us. Everton. They were Everton, weren't they? Brentford.
Yes.
I don't think he trekked all the way up to
Unusual
Liverpool.
For Sky to put all the games on in the UK, wasn't it, today? It was very much was a Super Sunday. You could choose what you wanted to watch.
It was great. I enjoyed myself this week. Yeah. Apart from the fact that the actual FPL, my team was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The constant games, it felt like a Saturday 3 o'clock, except you could watch them.
Yeah.
Whereas yesterday at 3 o'clock, it was a bit meh. Yeah. It wasn't even a soccer Saturday, so it was a bit like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's so Sizing Dave is here. Very nice to see you. Steve Elbows, Jack Benham. We've got Polkit. Hi from Singapore. Hey, Polkit. Nice to see you from Singapore. Kelly T is here. Mr. Danny McDonald. All the patrons are in tonight. Nice to see you guys. We've got Babani is in, Andrew Yee, Richard Lohman, who else we've got? Aaron Curl, nice to see you guys. So a whole host of you. Aaron, by the way, 49 points this week with Kruppi off the bench for Ekitike. Now listen, Aaron, I'm here for a bit of Ekitike bench jam, as long as it's not like as long as it's not too much jam. Kruppi off the bench, I'll let you have that one, Aaron. There were some absolutely unbelievable bits of Ekitike bench jam, wasn't there?
Oh, there was. There was like Thiago off the bench for 17
unbelievable
points. Rice off the bench.
Rice off the bench.
But this, do you know, it's interesting. Rice
Lord
off the bench,
above.
Thing, isn't it? Because I said to Max going into this game week and actually going into midweek, don't bench Rice, play Rice. Because if for any reason the information that we're getting isn't accurate, or he decides to play him, you're going to be devastated that you've not played Rice. It was like, but he's flag mum. I was like, I don't care. Play him, because he's not going to bring him on. If he's injured, that's it. So you play him and you let someone come off your bench if necessary. Well, he's happy with me today, because of course he gets a massive 17 pointer out of it. So it's just one of those things, isn't it, where I don't think I could bring myself to bench somebody like Declan Rice. If you have him, he's the sort of player you have to play, no?
Not in the form he's in right now. Andrew G77, I'm getting Thiago off the bench for Ekitike. That's
jammy.
Sorry, I'm not here for that, Andrew. I'm sorry, mate. That's too much jam. That's too much. I'm not allowing that. Henry CP is saying Wilson coming off the bench. What did Wilson end up with? 6?
That's okay.
We'll let you have
that,
Henry. You can have that.
That's
you can have that.
Jam.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew, we're not having Thiago, mate. But yeah, Henry, you can have Wilson off the bench. Any more bench jam, get in the comments on the live chat or get in the comments on the replay if you're watching on YouTube. If you had some bench jam, if you had Rice off the bench, if you had Thiago off the bench. I'm not here for it. I had Gahey off the bench, by the way, so that tells you everything. That's why I'm not here for it. Very much so. Let's start on it. Before we get to our red arrows and the games and everything else, because we've got to talk about how bad our games were again, Liverpool and Spurs. Oh, my God, not much to chat about there.
Wait, hang on.
Polkit saying, give us some Liverpool motivation. Mate, you've come to the wrong place. There's no motivation. Liverpool motivation, anyway, from my perspective.
I'm a bit
what,
upset.
Spurs?
We weren't that bad today. We actually played quite well at home. I'll be honest. All right, the result's not great. That is one of the better home performances we've put in this season.
Well, I think that says a lot, doesn't it?
Well,
it's all relative.
All I'm saying is that you moan about your team if you want. I didn't watch your game. I watched ours. I don't know how bad they were. But actually, we were all right. We just didn't take our chances.
You were all right.
I said to you, didn't I, during the game, I said, it reminds me of the good old days when we used to have Martin Jol talking about taking your chances. And I missed him. I missed him today.
It was, to be fair, it was an unbelievably good match compared to the Spurs game in midweek.
Well, that's what I mean.
That was utter... Oh, that was tripe. What was that? 0-0, wasn't it? Again, who was that? As bad as us. I know we drew with Leeds. Who did you draw with?
God.
The point, dear, what the point is that we actually created some chances and we were right.
Yeah.
Said chances a lot of times then. I think your graphic is wrong as well. I'm just checking.
Say chances more. All right. Let's get on to our Patreon winner for our Manager of the Month competition for December with Mr. Mark Dorney. Congratulations, Mark. Mark's been following us and supporting us on Patreon for some time, Sam.
He's been around a long time. He has. Bit of the furniture now.
He is part of the furniture, Mark. He's been here for a very long time. And I'll tell you what. Absolutely smashed it in December. 432 points in the month of December. Great. With his team, Can I Porro a Tenner, which I particularly like. Second place was Mr. Andy Velez, also a long-time patron supporter over on FPL Family Patron with 409. So, listen, Mark has won that by, what is that, 23 points? Mm. I mean, that is insane. So, so good.
I also think he deserved to have won it just for that team name.
Just for the team name.
Just for the team
just
name.
For the team. And then Ala is in with 389. So fair play to everybody who took part in the December Manager Month. But Mark winning it by a landslide in the end. Very, very good indeed. So I've got in touch with Mark already. He gets to choose a shirt of his choice. Doesn't have to be Premier League.
What does
he
want?
He doesn't know yet. He hasn't decided. Oh. But I think it's his lad's birthday coming up in February.
Oh.
So he said this is brilliantly timed. He's going to get his lad a shirt.
Perfect.
I said, mate, that's absolutely perfect. So a shirt of Mark's choice will be winging its way to him in the post.
I wonder if he was a Spurs fan because,
once he has decided what it is that he wants. Yeah, it could be.
I don't think we've sent many Spurs things out.
No, there's a lot of, obviously, because we're international, a lot of Liverpool, a lot of Man U, isn't there?
We've sent a lot of Man U and Liverpool. Yeah. Mostly to Tracy, to be fair.
Tracy's had like four shirts of us. Yeah. But Mark, very, very good indeed. 432 points. And as I always say, it doesn't matter how good a month or season you're having over on FPL Family Patron, we reset the clock every month, right? So the January competition has now started. We're one game week into it.
Yes.
If you want to go and join in and think you can beat Mark, you think you can beat Andy and Ala and want to take part in our January Manager of the Month competition, then patreon.com/FPL family is where you can find all the details on how to take part and try and beat these guys so that you can win a shirt for the month of January. All right, let's move on to, Sam, some of these games. Let's go here. There we go. In this sort of game week, I genuinely don't know where you want to start. So I will let you choose where to start.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Back to the beginning. Villa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think for most FPL managers, Villa, particularly for me, Villa was a big worry this week.
You had no Villa going into this, so, or just Rodgers?
So going into the game week, prior to transfers, I had no Villa at all. And I was looking at the fixture run, and we've been talking about for a while now, game week 20 onwards, that felt like the right time to be investing in Aston Villa.
Yes.
In midweek, Ollie Watkins kind of put his hand up ish, and I'm going to say ish, because they weren't great against Arsenal. And I was watching that game for expecting more from Villa in midweek, I'll be honest. Like, I was expecting, we haven't really spoken about this apart from on Ohana, but I was expecting more from Aston Villa in midweek against Arsenal. When we didn't get it, I was like, oh. But the fixtures were nice. This fixture in particular was appealing because Nottingham Forest haven't travelled well over the course of this season. They've been a bit better at home, but they haven't historically been travelling particularly well.
Yeah.
And Villa needed a bounce back, and we certainly got it in this one. So I was worried about it. So the transfer I did this week in the end, after a lot of umming and ahhing, was to sell Mohamed Kudus and bring in Morgan Rodgers. Now, after about 20 minutes of the Spurs game, I was thinking, oh, Kudus looks like he's going to be quite involved here. And then he got injured and went off. So actually, as it happens, it's probably the right decision to have made.
Yes.
Rodgers just with an assist, though, I was a little bit disappointed.
Mm.
I was expecting a little bit more from him. That being said, I'm glad to have him in. I think the big question with Aston Villa is that enough? Because the fixtures that they have coming up over the next few weeks do look enticing, particularly in attack. And I think I sat here last week and I said, I don't trust the Villa defence. I don't like the fixtures for clean sheets from them because they do, unlike Burnley, who have the habit of scoring a goal to wipe out a clean sheet, Villa have the opposite habit.
Yeah.
They like to concede the odd goal here or there to wipe out their clean sheet. And at one point, Matty Cash looked like he was going to be on for an absolute monster haul when you were thinking about getting him.
I did have an eye on Matty Cash this week, I have to tell you. Yeah.
And it did look monster because he obviously had an attacking return and had a clean sheet that looked like it was going to land. So interesting for me moving forward what we do. Ollie Watkins with a goal, great, but then still goes off early for Marlon. So you've got that kind of rotation issue that's there. John McGinn, I don't think anyone's going to, particularly as we've seen some rotation with him, but obviously he gets the brace this week. Do you still think you want to get Matty Cash?
I've still got an eye on him. Yeah, I still have, because I think if you look at the fixtures, and I notice, guys, I've done something that I don't normally do. I've included the current game week fixtures. I should just crop that out, actually, and extend it from game week 21 onwards, because we have already done game week 20, as we're well aware. But anyway, you can see, if you're on the YouTube, you can see that Villa's next fixtures after that Forest game in 20, which has just happened, Palace away. But listen, they look more and more cooked every week, Palace. So I think that's perfectly good game for Villa. Then Everton at home, who have just shipped a ton of goals to Thiago and co against Brentford. Newcastle away, obviously, tricky little game. And then Brentford at home in game week 24. So the Villa fixtures continue to look good. I think there's clean sheets in there, honestly.
Which one do you think there's a clean sheet in?
I think there's a clean sheet in that Palace game. And I think there's potentially a clean sheet in that Everton game as well. So if I am going to go in, I think it probably does have to be now.
I think it does, but I also think it has to be cash, because the reality is I don't think that there will be more than one clean sheet in the next 4 weeks.
Mm.
And so if you're going to go for a Villa defender, like, I don't think you can go Konsa, because he's unlikely to get an attack in return. It's the same with me with Martinez in goal. Like, I'm still pondering on my goalkeeper life choices at the minute, as always. And so Martinez just feels like a difficult pick, because I just don't see the clean sheet sticking. I think that they've
Konsa's cheap enough, though, isn't he? He's like 4-4. Yeah, but the trouble is, that's worth a punt. I mean, he is a bit 2 or 6, isn't he? He's a bit David Raya.
Very, very 2 or 6.
But Raya's 6 and Konsa's 4-4. So
I suppose there's Defcon potential in there as well. So maybe it's not 2 and 6. Maybe it's 4 and 8. Maybe it's, you know, 2 to 8 that you could eventually get. But I just think that if you're going to go there, you have to look for the upside of cash realistically.
I think they do like... They do like to ship the odd goal, Villa. I still think if you've got no Villa in your team, I still think you've got to focus on the attackers, don't you?
Massively, yeah.
I think Rodgers is perfectly, you know, he's absolutely fine to bring in. What about Watkins then? Because there will be a few, like me, looking at him this week because of Ekotike.
Mm.
So Ekotike coming into this week was already on a bit of thin ice, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
because he'd got Wolves and Leeds at home, two games where we're thinking, that's plump, you bring him in. That's plump.
Yep,
perfect.
Yep, yep.
And just one assist across those two is not great. Then for him to not show up at all with... what was the explanation that we saw for this?
He's got a slight hamstring. So Slot said he's got a slight hamstring problem. And when questioned about it, he basically said it's come from him having to play a lot of minutes.
Didn't he say something about DOMS? Didn't he say something about delayed onset muscle soreness?
He said something about his hamstrings. It might be DOMS in his hamstrings. But he basically said that he's having to play so many minutes because of the Isak injury and other issues, but that he's not sure if he's going to be available for midweek yet. So you've got a Liverpool player that's a doubt, an expensive Liverpool player as well, in terms of the gameplay. He's expensive. He's a doubt for a game against an Arsenal defence that, all right, they've conceded a couple this weekend, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But defensively, they're usually quite solid.
Mm.
I don't think I'd hold Ekotike through that Arsenal game.
The reason people will hold him, maybe let's do Ekotike in a minute, because you want to start with Villa. But the reason people will hold him is because of that Burnley game coming up after the Arsenal game. And then Bournemouth away, by the way, which is also not bad.
Yeah, of course. But the Burnley game is quite a way out now, because after this midweek round, we obviously have the FA Cup weekend before we get back into Premier League again. So it depends on what your strategy is, doesn't it? Like, I can seriously see a wild card incoming rapidly with my lot. And so if I had Ekotike, I think I'd be looking at this Arsenal game going, well, you're a doubt anyway, why not punt on somebody that's has got a better fixture this week, i.e. Watkins? And if I decide I want Ekotike back for that Burnley game, well then, I can do that later on.
Yeah. It's definitely something I'm having a look at. We'll talk about teams and our scores and stuff a bit later on, but Ekotike out for Watkins is definitely something I'm having a look at. It would mean that I'm doubled up with the Villa attack, because I've got Rodgers already.
Does minute rotation worry you with Watkins?
Yeah, a little bit. Because Marlon, he does seem to like to chuck Marlon on for 10-20 minutes, doesn't he? So, yes, it does. A little bit. Yes, it does. But I think we saw, what was the game when Marlon started and then Watkins come on and changed it? Chelsea, wasn't it? Chelsea, yeah. At Stamford Bridge. Marlon was just non-existent, really. And so were Chelsea. So were Villa. And then he bought on Onana and he bought on Watkins and it completely changed.
Completely changed the game.
So I don't, you know, if you've got Ekotike and you're looking to go, you know, move almost kind of sideways, at least in terms of price, to Watkins this week, I don't mind it at all. I don't mind it at all. And it's certainly something I'm having a look at. Let's do, because we're already kind of halfway there, Why don't we do that game then? So that's 3-1 Villa. Let's go to...
We're not going to talk about Forest because there's no point.
No, okay. He's got work to do there, hasn't he? He really has. Mm. He really has. Fulham 2, Liverpool 2 then. Listen, I was talking in the Slack actually when we got what I thought was going to be the winning goal when Gakpo scored his goal. And you know, rather than, you know, George, bless him, George was saying, there you go, Lee, be really positive.
I saw this, yeah.
And it was like, mate, I'm trying, but it's like, it was such a dull affair from Liverpool, honestly. And I think I said in the stat, look, we don't deserve it. I bloody take it. Do you know what I mean? 2-1 win away from home. Of course I'll take it. Yeah. But we did deserve it. And then Harrison Reed pops up with, I mean,
it's a worldie.
I mean, God, Lord, I mean, he hasn't scored for 3 years for Fulham. He's just picked it out from absolutely nowhere. There's literally, you've got one of the world's best keepers in nets and the whole of the Liverpool back line are there. Now, I think it tells you a lot about our mentality because we look frightened, actually. Like, no one come out to press him.
No.
Like, and I know there'd be something in their heads that just says, let him shoot if he wants. Do you know what I mean? He ain't scored for 3 years and Alisson will save it. He's either going to whack, he's just going to go flying over, or Ali will save this. Let him shoot. Well, they let him shoot and he scored probably the best goal of his life.
Yeah.
One of the best goals they'll see at Craven Cottage, probably all season. So how's your luck, Liverpool? Right, how's your luck? Because just when we thought we'd got away with a 2-1, at a time when we do desperately need results like that, given we've got to go Arsenal next, how's your luck? You know, Harrison Reed, 94th minute, screamer. Crazy, crazy. Talk to me about this game, though. And in particular, I'm interested in your opinion on Florian Wirtz. And by the way, talk about a tight offside call. Probably one of the tightest we've seen all season, isn't it? That Wirtz one.
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't watch this game because I was watching the Mighty Spurs and they were on at the same time. But I did see some little bits and pieces of this one, including the lines for the Florian Wirtz goal. Now, as a Wirtz owner, I'm delighted by this.
Yeah.
But I've never, ever seen such a tight line in all of the VAR decisions I've seen. This one was mad. And I'm not surprised it took a while for it to be given or not given, or for the VAR to make the decision.
It's weird, isn't it? Because if you looked at just the live pictures, the lines on the pitch, the way the grass was cut, absolutely suggested offside to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the VAR somehow decided that he's on. Listen, you own Wirtz. I'm a Liverpool fan. Neither of us is that upset about that goal being given.
Nope.
But at the same time, it was... Yeah, you've got to say it was close.
I was a bit stressed this weekend because I made the Rodgers to Kudus move and... We were out, weren't we, with the kids, I think, and we hadn't really spoken about what we'd done. And I think because Friday we'd spent a lot of time apart, me doing one show, you doing another show, and various other things that have been going on. So you said to me after the deadline, but what did you do? And I said, oh, I sold Kudus this week. And you said, what? Why have you done that? Like, I was expecting Kudus to be all right.
Mm.
I think I'd have been more concerned about Wirtz. And you were like, and I was like, why? What's wrong with Wirtz? Like, because he wasn't flagged in the game, I was like, well, it completely bypassed me that he was even carrying anything. And I think the reality is that he's quite important at the minute because, especially when you didn't have Ekitike as well today, like you are limited in your numbers. You really need Salah to be knocked out of AFCON ASAP so you can have some extra manpower back in.
Well,
here.
He weren't doing a lot when he was there.
Well, no, I know, but you really need him. You need some manpower back in your squad, don't you? I suppose if he's coming
back. Can I just give an opinion on the Wirtz performance?
Go on.
First off, he was bloody awful.
Was he?
Christ almighty. Like, there's so many... There was just obvious passes. I remember one where he had tons of space in midfield and he just passed it to the Fulham defender. I'm like, dude, what are you playing at? Like, it was just not good. Not good at all. Second half, better. In terms of FPL, though, his positioning is very interesting because he was absolutely the one that was either playing in false nine or playing slightly off a Gakpo.
Okay.
Now, I must admit, when I saw the team sheet for Liverpool, when the teams come out for this, I was just like, I looked at it, I just thought, where have we spent £250 million on this team?
Yeah.
Like, where's the money gone? Like, the team looked shit, to be honest. Like, I looked at the team, it was like Curtis Jones playing left. You've got... actually Frimpong over the last few weeks I actually thought was one of the ones that has looked quite good. If anything, I thought he's looked as if he's growing into the team a little bit. Well, he benched him, didn't he? I was like, okay, that's weird, but fine. Wirtz playing in that sort of like 10-stroke-free role, but sort of getting in Curtis's way a bit on the left-hand side. Gakpo up front, which is a position that he can play, but he don't like it.
But he didn't have a lot of choice.
He didn't have a lot of choice but to play there. But so in my head, I'm just like, what is it? What is this team that he's put out here? Yeah, we've got a lot of injuries and a lot of people missing.
Yeah.
But Christ almighty, we really missed that focal point. Like Slot's philosophy, Slot's system relies on having that number nine focal point. That's why we bought Isak, because on paper, he's one of the best in the business at doing it.
Yeah.
So when when he's not there, and when Ekitike's not there, you've got Gakpo, who's kind of drifting a bit left. And
still coming back from injury himself. Feeling
his way in, isn't he? Yeah. Feeling his way in. Plus, I think he's starting to get on my nerves a little bit, Gakpo, because he's just, I've said before, I think he's one-dimensional, and he looks like that again today. And you had him kind of like drifting a bit left. You had Curtis drifting a bit in. You had Wirtz kind of drifting a bit left and in. It's like the three of them didn't really know what the bloody hell was going on. It was really awful.
None of them's really playing where they want to be playing, to be fair, today.
Yeah. But Wirtz, though, he was advanced, right? He was playing in either the 10 or the false 9, which was in FPL, if you've got him, that's good. That's where you want him, right? Mm. The fact that he's marginally offside, okay, well, the semi-automated, it's done by a computer, so let's say that we've got to assume it's correct, haven't we? He's onside.
Taking it.
So you take it. It's a 10-pointer. And as I sat here and said to you last week, he's worth keeping Wirtz, because if he does score or get an assist, pretty good chance he gets the bonus. Look, because the rest of them are absolute rubbish.
Which he did again today. And that's the thing is, all right, it's Arsenal up in midweek, but then afterwards it's Burnley. I'm not selling him, because Arsenal have shown over the last couple of weeks that they are, and it has been error goals mostly that they've made, and maybe we'll do Arsenal next. But they could...
Don't expect anything from us at Arsenal.
Listen, I'm not
expecting... We're going to get spanked by Arsenal. Sam, we are.
This is what I have to live with. You see, George, when you were... So I went to pick up the kids who had gone to visit my mum and dad for the second half of the football to entertain my little niece who was over there. And I went to pick them up. And as I'm walking back, we were walking back as... I was walking over there as Liverpool had scored. And George popping in the Slack and going, Lee, come on, be positive. And I thought, George... Save your breath.
He tries. Like George today, it was just like... When the Gakpo... The Gakpo goal goes in, he's like, there you go, Lee, I told you, be positive. And literally 4 minutes later, Reed pulls out the goal of his lifetime after 3 years of not doing fuck all. And it's like, I try to be positive, George. And you get shit like that, mate, honestly.
But the best thing about it was when I got to the kids, Max went, I'm going to text Dad and say they've won it. And I was like, don't text him.
Don't text me.
Don't text him. And then about 30 seconds later... Reed scored and Max was like, oh, it's a good job I didn't text
him. I'm telling you, if any of you are even considering not playing your Arsenal players next week in FPL, because on paper it's a big game against Liverpool, don't be silly. Please don't be silly. Please play your Arsenal players. If you've got Arsenal double defence and you're thinking, well, Liverpool score, it doesn't matter. Play them anyway. I would Gabriel captain next week is fine. Gabriel captain next week is fine, let me tell you. By the way, every time we concede a corner, and we've just sacked our set piece coach, by the way. So we've gone from being crap at defending corners to still crap, and we don't have a plan, right? So this is the difference between you and me, right? You will staunchly sit here and defend Spurs to the hilt. I get it. If we're crap, I say we're crap. And at the moment, we are crap. Despite...
No, hang on, because even when you're good, you're...
Even when we've now not lost in 8 games.
Yeah, but that's
and we're
mean.
Still crap.
You're...
Trust me, we will lose against
you
Arsenal.
Won't find anything
and
positive.
Trust me, Gabriel will score against us.
Okay.
Trust me, because we absolutely poop ourselves every time the ball comes in our box.
If you would
and
like...
even that Harrison Reed one, then like it comes out to him, and rather than somebody going out to him, they all retreat. It's like watching London Colney Tigers under 12s, right? And they actually, even they're better than Liverpool at doing this. They will get out to the ball. Whereas you watch the really bad teams. You watch the really bad kids teams that we've watched. Like, and we've seen some with Max's team over the last year. We've seen some bad ones. These are very good ones, but some bad ones. And like all that they will all just retreat. Just retreat to the goal line. Well, that's what Liverpool did for the Harrison Reed goal. It was like, oh, we're going to shit ourselves and move back. Rather than going out and playing positively. And we will do that all game against Arsenal, I'm telling you.
If you would like...
Chatterbox, Gabriel triple captain. Mate, I don't mind it.
Guys.
I don't mind it.
If this is serious now. If you would like Lee's immediate aftermath reaction to what happens between Liverpool and Arsenal on Thursday evening, go over to our Patreon, sign up as a free member, because then you will receive the Ohana podcast, which we will be recording at 90 minutes in the Arsenal and Liverpool game on Thursday evening. So you will get this. I can't promise it'll be pretty.
It won't be.
But it will be entertaining to listen to.
It won't be. Go and get yourself a free Patreon account and download and listen to our free Ohana podcast on Thursday. It will be live, if not straight after.
We normally start it during the game.
If we're 4-0 down, which I expect we will be, we'll just start it.
Well, we normally start it during the game anyway. The guys have had to deal with me watching Spurs in the Europa League last year.
As he's in the chat, can we do a watch along with Lee for that game? Absolutely not, mate. No, absolutely not. We cannot.
What we could do is I could secretly film it and put it on Patreon. No. Can you imagine? I'll just set up my camera in the corner of the room.
Scott Schrager's in. He said, Lee, you're still fourth in the table. Mate, I know. And I'm being overly negative. I know I'm being overly negative. George is going to, he'll be having words.
Do you know what I might do, guys? I might.
It's so bad, guys.
I might set up a time lapse and just have it record Lee in the corner just so you can see what I have to contend with.
It's so bad. But anyway, from an FPL perspective, am I selling Hugo Ekitike this week? Probably yes. Should you sell Verts this week? Probably no.
No, I'm going to keep Verts.
Probably no.
He's got me 10 points this week. He's the least of my problems.
Yeah. Well, in a world where we got a lot of problems at Liverpool, he's probably not one of them at the minute, Verts.
The fact he's
soldiering on and carrying a hamstring injury is testament to the guy, really. And against Burnley, we're going to need him, right? Mm. Because after the Arsenal game, that is also not an easy game, Burnley at Anfield.
Well, you have got the FA Cup in the middle, so hopefully get a rest.
We've got Barnsley in the FA Cup. Hopefully we beat them.
No, well, hopefully they rest them all, so you might lose.
Like today, like, oh my God, I'm going to shut up in a minute. I promise I will shut up in a minute. First half was so bad. And I'm just like, right, can somebody please take on a man? Can we please get Rio and Gamora on the left instead of Curtis Jones? Can we please put Frimpong on the right instead of whoever the bloody hell was on the right? And can we please have a go at beating a man down the wing and try and get it into dangerous areas? And it was just like, he didn't do everything at halftime. It took him ages to put Frimpong on. I don't know what Rio's done. I know that Rio's a youngster, right? He's like 18, 19, whatever he is. But oh my God, get him on. Get him on. Oh God, it's so bad at the minute, guys, honestly. We haven't lost in eight, so shut up, Lee. But yeah, we will get absolutely pissed on by Arsenal because they are so good.
You said that last time that you were due to play Arsenal as well, if you remember.
What, and we got the Szoboszlai
free
kick?
And you suddenly won 1-0.
That's the only way we're going to get anything out of that game is if somebody else pull out a Harrison Reed worldie. Right, are we all getting Reed in FPL then? What's going on?
No. Harry Wilson though.
You bloody right, I can hold Harry Wilson. What a great enabler!
Yeah.
Yeah, one off the bar as well. Oh my God, when that one hit the bar, Jesus! You non-Liverpool supporting Harry Wilson owners would have been gutted about that one. I'm telling you. But I, even though I've got Wilson, and listen, a Wilson brace this week would have been very welcome. But not against my team, clearly. And the defending, again, was just like, it was like comedy.
Yeah, but your defence is terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's awful. No, it's awful. But yeah, Wilson is of course he's a fine hold. Yeah, he absolutely is. What about Raul Jimenez, though? Goal last game week and assist this game week. Doing all right, isn't he?
He's ticking over quite nicely,
I think. Ticking over?
Yeah, he's ticking over fine. I mean, again, he feels like one of the least priority players. I think if you've got somebody in particular in mind up top that you really want to go to, then I don't mind it. But I think he's an absolutely fine hold.
All right. And then we've got Anderson in with the Defcons there with the 12-pointer. So, yeah, I do like to concede Fulham. So I'm not saying Anderson's an obvious pick. But if you get him, it feels like you're going to get at least three each week.
Yeah, I don't like the Fulham defence. I think Harry Wilson, Raul Jimenez, yes, fine. The defence I don't like, despite the fact that Anderson regularly gets Defcon. I just think that they will concede. And so because of that, I'm not interested. One defence I am interested in, though, Lee.
Go on.
Let's talk about Arsenal.
Go on, then. Let's talk about them. Bournemouth 2, Arsenal 3.
So going into this game week, I was panicking. Panicking.
Who did you have?
I had Raya, Timber and Saka.
Right, okay.
So I'm trebled on Arsenal. I really wish I wasn't. It's one of those moments where I really wish I wasn't trebled because if it'll be easier. And I was thinking, oh, Declan Rice, hopefully he's injured. That's one less problem. He's a massive route to pain. Because in my head, the thing that I was going to do this week, and on Friday, I came very close to a minus -8.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yeah. Okay. And it would have been to do Raya to Verbruggen.
Yep.
And then O'Reilly to
Gabriel. Fine. That'd have been popular, I think, those moves.
It would have been popular. Actually, in the end, it would have just about paid off. When O'Reilly was keeping a clean sheet and getting free bonus points, it would have been a terrible decision because it wouldn't have, it for a minus eight.
Yes.
It wouldn't have, it, the maths wouldn't have mathed.
Yeah.
yeah, so, right. But when Riley was keeping the clean sheet, he was okay. Anyway, in the end, I decided I didn't want to do it. And in part, the decision, it was like, it was like in my head, I was kind of going, I think I'm on all three wrong Arsenal assets here.
Yeah. Raya, definitely, you've got to get off. It's just a waste of a spot.
I agree. But I also want to get Rice. So the issue I've got here is that I've got Raya, I've got to sell, fine. I have no issues with selling Raya.
Yeah.
But what am I doing? How am I getting Gabriel and Rice? That means I've got to get rid of either Timber or Saka.
I see.
I can't have four. So...
Why would you not just sell Saka to Rice?
So that is an option. That is an option I am considering. So
does that feel a bit knee-jerky, a bit reactionary from this week?
Yes, it does. Mm. But also, and also, Saka's had a rest now. Like, Saka's been rested.
Yeah.
He's had the benching this week. He came on, he's still got an assist. I'm sort of still happy with him because last week I watched Saka and thought, my God, how have you not got me a million points?
We say that a lot about Saka, don't we? Whereas yes, Rice just gets the points. Like the way, like today... You can't whinge about it, right? He's got two cut-back goals, right? So we talk about defences retreating to goal lines when players are attacking them. Well, Bournemouth did it for both.
Yeah.
And Rice is just that good a player that he just recognises it,
yeah,
holds his run, scores two very similar goals that are like tap-ins for him, right? It's just because he's that good a player.
Yeah, it's great.
So anyone that's got the 17-pointer for Rice this week, fair play, well done and congrats. The last 2 weeks where he's been... S-housing points from corners with bloody what's-his-face with the volleyball at Everton.
Yeah.
And then the other one where it was just like the Rooter own goal, right? It's just jam, right? But today, 17 points from Rice. It's mad, isn't it?
It is mad. But I also kind of feel, and this is why in the end I didn't take a hit this week. I just did kudos to Rodgers and I thought, so be it if Gabriel punishes me. And he did. But in the end, I didn't do it because I just felt like I need a wild card to deal with Arsenal. Because there's so many, like, in my head, I still think Gabriel and Timber with Rice, I think it's still the two at the back. But then I'm also pondering on, well, should I just sell Timber for Gabriel and then get Rice in midfield?
With Saka.
So, and this is where I can't... Because I can't decide what the hell I think I should do, I think I'm just going to... Ridiculously, I think I'm going to punish myself again with Gabriel by not having him for midweek.
Oh, you've got to have him against us.
Lee.
You've got to.
I just...
Got every corner, he'll be on it.
Okay, but that means I have to sell... I'd have to sell Timber to do that, for not for a hit.
Difficult one.
So the only way for me to get Gabriel this week, not for a hit... is to sell Timber. For a hit, I could get rid of Raya to get Timber. But then in reality, I'm getting Verbruggen, who I'm going to bench, because I don't want to play Verbruggen away at Man City. So I'm just taking a hit for a goalkeeper I'm going to bench to play Dubravka. That seems insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's a chance that, and I think there's quite a high chance, that on Friday morning I hit the wild card.
You reckon you're going to wildcard already?
I think I might wildcard over the FA Cup. Because I'm looking at my team and I'm like, I think I'm on three wrong Arsenal assets and I think I need to change that. Maybe two wrong Arsenal assets. But there's two changes I want to make there. I want to get off Foden.
Got to talk about him, haven't we?
Yeah, my defence is in the mud. I've kept Gahee all this time on the theory that maybe he might go to Liverpool and then I might want to keep him. But your defence is in the mud.
Don't do that.
So I might why am I doing this?
Don't do that.
So he's there. There's now a new 4.5 king in town when it comes to the forward line. Hello, Mane. We'll talk you about want you
him.
In a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't want him, but he's just better than Mark Guiu, who does nothing and doesn't play any minutes.
Fact, yeah.
So, you know, it's not like I want him. I've got Jarrod Bowen who can stay for this week, but I want off of him as quickly as possible afterwards. Because he's got Forest at home,
just,
and they're
just
remotely.
Plays for the wrong team, Danny Bowen. If he got like, if he went to another team, he'd
yeah,
be
but sadly
lineup,
he's stuck there for life because he's married into it now. So there's so many things about my team I dislike.
So you're thinking not wild card for game week 21, but as soon as that deadline passes, you're thinking for game week 22, which will be after the FA Cup.
Yes.
Okay. Still doesn't mean you're going to have Gabriel against Liverpool.
Well, no, I know. I just feel like I'm at this point, I've got this far without it, might as well go one more week. I have to pay 7 million by the time the wild card rolls in, but we are where we are with it.
Mm.
Because I can't, I can't see the value in taking a hit this week for the goalkeeper situation. I don't know what I'm more likely to do. We'll talk about my team later, but the investment in Arsenal is a problem.
It's only hard because they're all good.
Well, yes, I know. That's the problem. The problem is I want four of them.
If you could, you'd have Raya in goal, and you'd have Timber and Gabriel, and you'd have Saka and Rice, and you might even have a cheeky look at Ødegaard.
I don't think I would have Raya now. At the time it made sense because Gabriel wasn't there. But what I should have done at the time is just gone, suck it up, get somebody different, leave the space open. But I didn't want to leave an Arsenal space open because they're the best team in the league. So I wanted to have three. But actually what I want now is Timber and Gabriel and Saka and Rice.
Okay. All right. Thoughts on Bournemouth for their part in this game? I mean, what a goal from Kruppi Jr., by the way. It was from the ridiculous to the sublime, wasn't it? Because the Evan Nilsson goal... He's, of course, it goes without saying, it's a Gabriel error, right? It's a Gabriel error. So what a roller coaster for Arsenal defence in the first sort of 20 minutes of that game, because Gabriel basically passes it to Evan Nilsson, wipes out
the Timber, the Raya, the Hincapié,
everybody else's clean sheets, including his own. And then 4 minutes later, goes and scores at the other end.
Fuming, I was.
So for those that are on Timber and Raya, like you...
I was furious.
Oh, just... Yeah,
you, not only do I not want Arsenal winning,
it's an awful one.
So when they conceded, I was like, okay. As a Spurs fan, sorry Arsenal fans, but as a Spurs fan, I'm thinking, well, fine.
Yeah.
If Bournemouth want to win the game, they're fine. I'm all right with this.
Yeah.
For him to then go up the other end, having wiped out my double clean sheet and score, raging. I slightly less raged this morning when I woke up and found that Timber had been found an extra DEFCON in his back pocket,
which was nice. Yeah.
So he got three rather than nine. But rather than one. So, okay, fine. He was 6 points behind Gabriel.
But what I really want to ask you about Bournemouth is, it looks as if, at time of recording, that Semenyo is going to go to Manchester City.
Can he go before Spurs go there on midweek?
It's entirely possible that he might. I mean, it looks more or less nailed on that it's going to happen.
It looked like he said goodbye, didn't he, at the end of this weekend?
It did. Yeah, it did. How do you think that is going to affect Bournemouth going forward and the FPL assets? Because we talked about Evan Nilsson there. I'd like an opinion on that. But more importantly, you've just said about Mane being possibly the cheapest and best third choice striker option. I would like to give a shout out to Kruppi Jr. here.
Ooh.
Because Kruppi Jr., I think, will take more prominent role in this team without Semenyo there. He's a ball carrier, Kruppi, by the way. I like him a lot, by the way. I think he's a really top player. He's a young player. He's raw. He's got a lot of developing to do. There's no question about that. But in this Bournemouth side, they've got to replace Semenyo's goal somehow. And maybe they look to buy somebody in January. But now the onus is on the Evan Nilssons. The onus is on maybe the Kluiverts more. He's going to probably have to play Kruppi Jr. more. And we've seen the confidence of the kid to score the sort of goal that he scored against a very, very good, it's a good goalkeeper, Raya. I saw the angle from behind the goal. Could Raya have done a bit better with it? Maybe. But listen, still the confidence to take that on against Raya. Unbelievable goal. Do you think he could stake a claim for being the third striker choice when you're maybe putting your wildcard together in 22?
4.6. I mean, it's 0.1, isn't it? If you've got the extra 0.1, then probably. I guess the question is, for me anyway, if Semenyo goes, and if I'm a Bournemouth fan, if I'm Iraola, I think I would rather this Semenyo thing be sorted now, because it gives you nearly the full window. We're 4 days in. It gives you most of January to go and find a replacement with the money and spend it and invest.
We know what Bournemouth are like, though. They're part of a... What do they call that? It's a part of an MCO, aren't they? A multi-club organisation where they don't just go out and splash money on big players. They develop them in other clubs and they bring them from those other clubs
It doesn't have to be a go out and spend big money. They don't have to go out and spend all the Semenyo money.
No.
But I would be very surprised if they sell Semenyo and don't bring anybody in to fill that gap.
Would you?
Yes.
I'll be looking at it very, very closely because I think it's a real statement of intent and how much they probably trust the likes of Kruppi Jr.
Yeah.
If they don't sign somebody. It's the sort of transfer that, well, let's have a look at the fixtures. Bournemouth fixtures are pretty tricky. So as there's the Arsenal game.
Well, yeah,
Spurs at home up next. Brighton away, then Liverpool, then Wolves. There's absolutely games there against, if three, if not four, pretty dodgy defences. And by the way, the one that I'm thinking might not be is the Brighton away game. You're dodgy, we're dodgy, and Wolves are dodgy. I think after I'm going to not, I won't be doing it, I don't think, for that Spurs game. But if after the FA Cup, let's call it a break, if they haven't bought anybody by the time we come back for Brighton away, not a great entry point, but Liverpool at home is a really nice entry point. And I think that could be the moment to get on Croupy Jr. And that is also game week 23, so it'd be perfect for your wildcard. Right now, would you go Mane or Croupy Jr. as your third striker? If you were wildcarding this week.
Well, Mane's going to start, whereas Croupy Jr. I'm not...
I think he will start more, though, without Semenya. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm not convinced that that's true. Okay. I'm not convinced that that's true.
Okay. I think it's really close. I think Mane's had... is looked good. I mean, let's do that, right? So that's okay. Let's move on from that. So that's Bournemouth 2, Arsenal 3. Cracking game. Arsenal going to win the league. Let's talk about, where is he? Wolves 3, West Ham 0. All right. Everyone's new favourite third striker, Mane, right? Looked lively as hell, right? Lively AF. And to be honest with you, has done for a few weeks, even when they played against us the other week. Good. And we won 2-1. I was like, he's this kid looks pretty good. And the only reason
Show that you asked about whether he was in the starting 11 when we were talking about the team sheets for this one, weren't you? You came in and you went, is Mane playing? Max looked out for you.
Yeah, yeah. Because he looked good and he got a goal. He basically ran the show, right? Now, I don't know what West Ham are playing at. Right? I mean, this
they
is...
were awful.
I don't want to spend that long on this game outside of Mane because there's absolutely nothing to talk about in West Ham other than, are you selling Jarrod Bowen? Did get a return for you last game week.
He got DEFCON this week.
Did he get DEFCON this week? Jarrod Bowen?
It's the second time he's got DEFCON.
Please, he didn't get DEFCON.
He got four.
No, he didn't. You're lying.
I'm not lying.
You're lying. Oh my God, he got DEFCON. Bowen with the DEFCON. Are you joking?
It's the second time this season he's had DEFCON. There's only been two forwards that have had DEFCON this season and he's got it twice.
Tells you everything about West Ham's performance here that even Bowen is having to do the...
Correct.
And the one thing you can't say about Bowen is he's not work shy, right? So for sure he'd be putting the work in to do the tackles and everything else. But that tells you everything about this game and how West Ham were in it or not.
You look at the makeshift team.
Oh my God.
Look at my FPL team right now. Selling Bowen at home ahead of Forest... does not feel like something I need to be doing this week.
Yeah, that's probably...
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
He feels like a sell.
Out on your wildcard, maybe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Which is why my wildcard... I feel like wildcarding after the midweek round feels sensible because I can reset my team. I can get rid of all these players that I bought in for their nice fixtures.
Bowen,
who haven't really returned, although he did get DEFCON and he did get a return last week. So, actually, really, with Bowen... he's been the least of my problems.
She's been fine, yeah.
He's been fine. I must admit, though, I was expecting a lot more from him in this one. I was expecting more because that Wolves defence has not been solid, to say the very least.
But, they have been better. I looked at this
they
game and
better.
I saw that West Ham lineup and I just went, ooh.
But there's a problem.
I do wonder
and we said
whether
that.
Wolves might get something here.
I think it was...
wasn't expected to be a 3-0 thrashing.
No. I think it was on Ohana that we said it. Pakatar went off injured in midweek and we said, this is a problem because without... I might have been on the official pod, I said it actually. Without that creativity from Pakatar, it does change the way West Ham play and they just don't have those creative players anymore. They really miss Declan Rice, funnily enough, because he's quite good.
Oh, yeah.
And so when Pakatar's not there as well, there's that link-up play is not there between... the ball doesn't progress as well, which why Bowen's getting DEFCON. Because they haven't just bloody come right back again to pick up the ball.
Nuno's going to end up getting sacked there, isn't he?
Well, he probably is going to get sacked.
They're not going back to Forest.
They are, probably. They are in for everybody at the minute, West Ham. They are being linked with literally every player under the sun.
Panic buying.
Because they're in panic mode. Because they realistically could get relegated this season, which is not something I thought I'd be saying at the start of the season. They were dreadful.
As Mitchell's saying in the chat, they need their fullbacks back from AFCON. They do. That would be a step in the right direction, but they also need... well, I don't know. They need to kick up the arse.
They
need
a reset.
But tell me about Mane then, because I don't think many of us are investing in Wolves, except for maybe him.
But I'm not going to sit here and recommend you get anyone else from Wolves right now. Maybe they do seem to be turning a bit of a corner. Things do seem to be settling down in the back room as well, and that massively helps.
Good point at Man U, isn't it? I mean, that's a good point.
I think Edwards is getting it starting to get it right now. The team selection seems a bit more stable and a bit more solid. They seem to understand what he's asking them to do. And it's very hard to sit here and go, well, they're getting it completely right because West Ham were dreadful. But they look better. The point in midweek is really important. I think that gives them a boost. They go into this one, they're lifted, and they pick up their first 3 points of the season. So this is a really good win for Wolves. In FPL, though, the only player I'd look at is Mane. And the only reason I'd even look at him is because he's 4.5. And at 4.5, when most of us have burnt that third forward slot by having Giyu...
Better than Giyu, isn't he?
Yeah. He's way better because you're going to get at least two out of him every week. Yeah. And that's something you're not going to get out of Giyu.
All right. Thank you for the contribution in the chat, Henry CP. Unbeaten all year, Wolves. They're unbeaten all year. Just saying. Just saying. Thanks, Henry. Right, let's move it on. Let's talk about your lot then. Let's talk about Spurs 1, Sunderland 1. Kudus going off with what looked like a muscular injury, looked like his thigh, maybe his quad muscle. So there goes
Brennan Johnson.
There goes Spurs only player with any threat whatsoever outside of Mickey van der Ven, who again pops up with a little jammy assist. And Ben Davis, who I was very surprised to see on the team sheet, but popped up with the goal.
Well, I was actually quite pleased to see Ben Davis on the team sheet
today. Were you? Because
okay. Yes, not maybe for the reason that you've just expected me to say, but because Spence looked like he needed a rest in midweek.
Right.
He looked knackered. And so playing Ben Davis in that position, it did give Spence the opportunity to have a, like an 80-minute rest in today's game because your doggy's still out, so you don't have that rotation ability there. I thought he looked really good, Ben Davis. He brings a real solidity and he's really good. For the first 70 minutes of this game, we were the best. That was the best home performance I've watched in a long, long time. Not great, just the best home performance I've seen in a long time. We created some stuff. That was nice.
Some stuff.
We defended well. That Mickey van der Ven and Romero together were defending
created
well.
Some stuff. Let's see what the XG was like.
We did create some stuff.
Davis with a 0.49 XG.
Well, don't
loving
worry about
that.
Ben Davis. Don't worry about Ben Davis. But we were creating some things. There's still some issues with the finishing. There's still some issues there.
Because you play Richarlison.
Possibly. Where the hell is Dom Solanke? Like, come on now. It's been 800 years that he's been injured. The man that was never injured for Bournemouth. Where are you, Dominic? Stop making babies and come back. and then Kulusevski, where are you? Like, we really need both of them now. Because without Kudus, I am seriously concerned. Because that side of the pitch is where we were getting all of our joy, and he goes off and we lack in that position. We ended up a bit mismatched, and it's like, it's one of those, isn't it?
Colin Mwani played there, didn't he, for a bit
of the game he did, but Brennan would have gone there.
That guy is so one-footed
him?
By the way.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
Colin Mwani, I don't mind him, he looks okay, but he's all right foot, isn't he? Dear me.
But the Odoberts, the tails, they're just not good enough. Credit to Sunderland, in the last 20 minutes, they were particularly in the
could
last
have nicked
20
it.
Minutes. They probably should have nicked it, to be fair, at the end. They were the ones pushing. We, for some reason, decided to sit on a 1-0. Why? We can't defend. Mickey van der Ven looked like he was on for a monster haul at one point with his assist and his couple of bonus points, because I think he was on for the 3 when we were keeping the clean sheet as well, which would have been delightful.
Mm.
I'm still happy to hold him. People keep laughing at me. They say it's because I love him. I mean, these things are true. These things are true. I don't sit here and deny it. But at his price point, I still think he's quite good. We're getting some clean sheets in midweek. We're now getting we're getting a goal, an assist here, which could have easily been his goal if Ben Davis hadn't got in the way of it. Yeah.
All right. But still back in the manager?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good. All right. Man City 1, Chelsea 1.
Wiley. Why do they have to concede at the death?
They probably deserved it, Chelsea. They probably deserved it. City
so annoying, though.
Also probably should have had this game.
Locked
like,
it,
if you're going into like any game in the Premier League, if you're 1-0, that's not a scoreline you want to be going into the final 10 minutes.
Dennis
Trust
Spurs.
Me, I'm a Liverpool fan. I can tell you how often we bottle it in the last 10 minutes, and this season it's a lot. Now, Man City in this game against a good Chelsea side, say what you like about the circus, you know, off the pitch over the last week or so, and it has been a circus, isn't it, with Maresca leaving and stuff. It's still a good team. They're still good quality players.
Mm.
So to be 1-0 up and they're pushing Chelsea for the last couple of minutes, they deserved it. And yeah, of course, us O'Reilly owners are sitting there going, oh, for Christ's sake, that would have been a 9-pointer. It would have been the difference. For me, that would have been a small green rather than a small red, which I have got. So, you know, thanks, Enzo. In the 94th minute, that would have been that's the difference between a good and a bad week for me. Small margins, right? But you can't say that Chelsea didn't deserve it because they did. I thought they did.
What was up with Sanchez? Did we get news on that?
I can't remember. So while somebody, Chelsea fan, will tell us in the chat, right? Kingdom FC's here. You'll probably tell us in the chat.
Because there will be some upset Sanchez owners. He's in a relatively good number of teams, isn't he? So
yeah.
And there will be some that are like, oh, that's a bit frustrating, particularly going into the next few weeks. Because if you're in a position like I was when I had Pope, who then didn't appear for a couple of weeks, and you've got to play Dubravka every week.
Chat saying apparently he's fine. Back next match.
Oh, back next match. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Talk to me about City though, because you've already alluded to potentially selling Foden. What's going on with the big man as well? That's now quite a few blanks in a row for the big man. Is he the perma captain that we thought he was?
The problem is that I'm looking at my team every week and I'm not seeing anyone else putting their hand up that I trust with the armband. I don't trust him at the moment either. But
is that not an opportunity though? Is that not an opportunity to go against the market, to go against the grain?
Yes, but yes, you're right. Like, I'm looking at Haaland, I'm not thinking I must captain you, if that's what you mean. Like, I am looking at my team every week for the captaincy and thinking, where do I put it? This week, I did seriously consider moving it to Rodgers. I brought Rodgers in, I was like, well, maybe against Forest, I move it there. That was under consideration.
Max did, didn't he?
Max did.
He had Rodgers captain. And we both went, oh, mate, against Haaland. Haaland's at home. And he went, yeah, but Rodgers is good. And we're like, okay, well, yeah. Bloody worked out for a minute.
In the end, what swayed me is the fact that Chelsea didn't have a manager. That's why I captained Haaland this week. Because I thought about Rodgers. I thought about, you'll laugh, but I thought about Captain Inverts this week. I also thought about Captain bloody Jarrod Bowen this week. Actually, in the end, would have been better off as a captain than Haaland.
It was the no Caicedo that done it for me. That's why I captained Haaland this week. But going into next week, again, City at home against Brighton, what are we all going to do? We're going to captain him or are we going to go against?
Well, the issue is when I look at my team for next week, and this is part of the reason, oh God, I've got so many, here we go. When I look at my team for next week, I'm not looking at it thinking, oh, there's loads of options for the captaincy. Rodgers away at Crystal Palace is an option. Wirtz has got Arsenal, I can't captain him. Bowen plays for West Ham.
You can't captain Bowen.
I can't captain him. I've got Saka is an option. He's had a benching now, so maybe I could captain Saka against your lot.
Gabriel?
I don't have Gabriel.
Oh, yeah.
Van de Ven away at Bournemouth, shall I captain him?
No. If I bring in Watkins this week, I will seriously consider captaining him over Haaland.
See, I don't mind that.
That's one of the reasons I want to bring him in this week.
I don't mind that at all. But that's what I said. I could go Rodgers. That he Rodgers it once again.
George is in the chat saying Gabriel captain. Mate, you dare. I dare you. I dare you, George, to go Gabriel captain next week. I dare you, George.
I don't think I want to be in the slap.
Tell me to be positive then when Gabriel scores and George is his captain. George, if Gabriel scores and you've captained him and you're in the slack saying, be positively, we're done, mate. That'll be the end of it. End of.
Oh, your relationship with George is over?
That'll be gone because he'll have captained against my team and he'll be telling me to be positive.
Will you mute him out of slack?
I don't know, be that harsh, but you know.
Will you mute him?
There's at least a 24-hour mute, I think, would happen. I think I'd have to.
Because remember that after that game, there's no FPL for 2 weeks. So all he would talk about is Gabriel for 2 weeks. You'd have to mute him for the whole of the FA Cup break.
I dare you, George. Gabriel captain next week.
George, I feel like you're going to be on slim or thin ice with that one. But that's what I mean. Like, when I look at my team, I'm not perma-captain in Haaland. Every week I'm looking at it. And every week I'm like, my team is crap. Where's my other captaincy option?
And the goals are being shared around a little bit at City in a minute. You've got Reinders popping up with what his fourth goal in three games since I sold him has turned into bloody Lionel Messi. You've got Cherki, who actually is Lionel Messi, scoring goals left, right and centre. Foden's gone well off the boil. What do you think about him? Selling him?
Again, this is another reason I want a wild card. Like, this week, maybe I'm happy to hold him at home to Brighton. But I am looking at him thinking, we said weeks ago, when he stopped scoring points, sell.
Yeah.
And we've not done it. We've all done the same thing. We've all kept him.
Keep doing bloody defender transfers, me.
Yeah, because you're obsessed with Gabriel, which is right. But you also then talk about Matty Cash and this one and that one. You're obsessed with the defence. I'm looking at my midfield thinking, phone to Rice feels like the most obvious transfer in the world. But I've got bloody Raya in goal, so I can't do it.
So Dahlia's in the chat saying, what about Foden to Bruno Fernandes? Now, Bruno Fernandes, we think maybe possibly could be back for Manchester United's next game.
When do Manchester United play?
I don't know. We'll talk about them in a second. Let's finish Man City versus Chelsea, then we'll get on to Man United after that. Is there anything else you want to discuss from Manchester City other than just how frustrating it is owning Nico O'Reilly?
I honestly, Nico O'Reilly... To go from 9 to 2 because of that. Yeah, I don't appreciate that it's, you know, clean sheets go. But the last couple of weeks have been infuriating because last week he goes off before the clean sheet locks in. Devastating. This week we're in the 94th minute and he loses his clean sheet and 3 bonus points. Infuriating. If I could just go Gabriel to from O'Reilly to Gabriel, I'd do it. But because it's a because we're talking about hits and stuff, it's something to consider.
Bit more difficult.
But yeah.
All right. Thank you for the super chat, Malachi Fox. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hey, mate. I hope you're doing well. 66 points this week. Very good, mate. Very good. Up to 135K. Very nice indeed. Because of Thiago and Thiago. Well, listen, Malachi, that is, well, first of all, well played. 135K, not bad at all. Why don't we go and discuss Mr. Thiago very quickly then? Why don't we do Everton 2, Brentford 4? A result that, I'll be honest, I didn't see coming, right? I mean, Everton haven't exactly been crap at home.
Did you play Thiago?
I did play Thiago, yeah, absolutely. I mean, home game against Brentford,
yeah,
whose away form is a bit, you know, has been a bit flaky, no doubt about it. Yeah, for sure I'm going to play him. So, I don't know, just wasn't expecting this result and wasn't expecting a Thiago hat-trick. All the narrative about him only scoring from the penalty spot, well, he's just completely dispelled those myths, hasn't he? Ruthlessly with a hat-trick from open play. I took him out for Ekitike about 2 or 3 weeks ago, just before Ekitike went into that Leeds and Wolves games at home.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't worked out for me at all, has it?
At all.
I've got one assist in 3 games, whereas Thiago's got not just these 3, but I think he scored as well a couple of weeks back. So there's a chance that I just reverse that transfer. There's a chance that I go back.
Oh, rather than going to Watkins, you go to Thiago.
Well, maybe. I mean, if you have a look at Brentford's fixtures, if I go back to the fixture ticker here, it ain't that bad, right? It's Sunderland at home next, which is, you know, Brentford are good at home, right? Chelsea away, which are, on paper is a difficult game. Forest at home and then Aston Villa away. So a couple of nice home games mixed with, you know, a couple of pretty tricky looking away games. Do you think I'm mad just going back to Thiago? What do you think about sort of Brentford in general?
Sorry, George. They're a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, Brentford. Like, some games I watch them and I'm really impressed. And I haven't watched, to be fair, I have not seen this game because I was watching Spurs. But I would like to watch it back. This is the first time that we've seen Thiago do something like this without penalties involved. I just feel like... sometimes in FPL, you make a mistake. Like, I went from Thiago to Bowen. The reality of this situation is I probably should have stuck with Thiago the whole time.
Mm.
I could go back there. It's not a difficult decision to go back there. It would make life a bit easier, save a bit of money. You know, it's fine. The home fixtures I like, the away fixtures I don't. And the problem with Thiago is that if he's going to be my second and I've got Giyu, I sort of will need to play him every week. So...
It's kind of okay. You can play him in those games, though. Do you know what I mean? He can score any game. They can get a pen.
Well, they can when Dango comes back. They haven't had one since.
Yeah, I think he's shown here in this game that he can turn it on in any game, Thiago. He's got high ceiling.
The one thing I will say is that you look at that Everton team today. It's not a great team, is it? They're really lacking. The team that Everton put out today is really lacking. It's been hit by injury. It's been hit by AFCON. I don't know how I feel about Thiago. Maybe it's a little bit of like not wanting to go back there again so quickly.
But sometimes that's
not the right thing. And sometimes actually you just go, that was a mistake. I tried it, didn't like it, go back again.
I look at my team, and we will do teams in a minute. I look at my team and I wonder whether I've got a bit of John Lewis-itis here, right? Is it John Lewis? Who's the never knowingly under... No, what's the phrase?
You're right. Never knowingly under something. What is that?
No, reassuringly expensive. Whose marketing slogan was that? Somebody Google that. There was a retailer and their slogan was reassuringly expensive. I don't know whether going Ekitike over Thiago is like, well, I've got the money. I might as well spend it. I get some sort of like comfort in the fact that I'm spending big on my striker in Ekitike, and actually I should just do bloody Thiago. Ditto, Foden in midfield. I get some comfort in the fact that I'm spending my money on a big hitter like Foden, whereas actually Reinders and Cherki and others are better. Ditto, Saka. I've got all this money to spend. Might as well spend it on Saka, because it just makes me feel better that I've spent 10 million on my Arsenal midfielder. Where in actual fact, you should save 3 million. We should all be sitting here with 10 million in the bank. But we've all got... People are saying Stella Artois. No way. Nicole, is that right?
That's definitely not right. John Lewis. Lewis is reassuringly... John Lewis is never knowingly undersold.
Yeah. Maybe it was Stella Artois. Anyway, there's a marketing campaign and it's reassuringly expensive. Maybe it's Stella Artois. You might be right there, guys. And that's what I've got in FPL. I've got Stella Artois-itis right now. And I keep going for these big money players and you don't need to. You don't need to. Why would you have Ekitike over Thiago right now? You wouldn't. Why would you have Rice over Saka over Rice?
Okay, but I
nonsense.
Don't... So the Thiago to Ekitike thing, yes, that's fine. I think my issue with that isn't about Thiago necessarily, or whether like Ekitike is better than Thiago. Yes, sure,
what?
Absolutely.
Is he?
In FPL,
Ekitike is better than Thiago.
No,
in FPL.
The other way around.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah.
So in FPL, having Thiago over Ekitike is better. Sure. Yes, absolutely. I think the argument, though, is Thiago the best second striker?
Well, just get him and whoever is the third one as well. Because you can afford it if you don't Stella Artois it on Ekitike.
No, but you can't.
And if you go Saka to Rice, do what the fuck you want.
No, you can't.
Don't have to have Giroud and Kroupi and Mane and all these knobs.
Saka to Rice is different. But most people, right, if you've only got one free transfer going into this week and you've got Ekitike, my question is Thiago better? Because I think the answer to that is yes. But the question is Thiago the best choice?
He's got 14 goals, Sam.
Yes. But you've also got Watkins, who's arguably got much nicer fixtures and is more expensive. And I don't think that is a conversation about who's most expensive. I think that's just a conversation around who is the best. Forget the money. As with everything in FPL, like I always think you have to just put the money aside for a bit. You just put the money aside and you think, who is the best pick?
But that's my point. I've not been. That's my point. Is I've got all this money sitting there and I've not been. That's exactly right what you just said. We should all be, and I'm guilty of this, and many of you out there will be guilty of this season, is there's no Salah, right? So I've got all this money sitting around. I've spent it on Haaland, yep, sure. And even that will be questioned over the next few weeks if he don't start scoring. But we haven't got Salah, so I've got all this money. Well, let's go spend it on Saka and Foden and Ekitike and get Virgil at the back. Like, whose idea was getting Virgil a few weeks ago?
Yours.
What a terrible idea. 6 million. Just go and buy, I don't know, get Alderete or Mukiele. Much better. Thiago rather than Ekitike.
No, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is that I'm not... You might be 100% right and Thiago might be the best option to go to. But I am not convinced that he is a better option for the next 4 weeks than Watkins. I think Watkins is a better pick for the next four.
Okay. All right. But I think we can agree on that because I think Watkins is a good pick. Anything else you want to discuss?
No.
Malik Chowan has wanted to discuss this one, don't they?
But I didn't watch it. Did you watch any of it? Can you talk about it?
No, it was on at the same time, wasn't it? So I didn't get it.
Chow, brilliant. Yes, well done if you've got him. The thing with Newcastle is, who they got next? Leeds. Leeds at home.
Let's have a look.
They've got the fixture ticker.
They look pretty good. Yeah, Leeds at home, Wolves away, Villa at home, and then Liverpool away. So only the Villa game in there is a problem. Going to Anfield is not a problem. By the way, how good is Bruno Guimaraes at home?
Right.
I feel like his home form is ridiculous.
He's the one.
Right.
Because I think if you look at the rest of it, Voldemar benched again for this one.
Yeah.
Said that last week, didn't we? We said, won't we see another benching? Yes, we did, because Wissa played well. All right, in this one, Wissa doesn't get anything. So you can't go free for them two. So that rules out the forward line. Anthony Gordon can't stay onside. He has two goals off. I think it's two.
Anthony Gordon can't stay onside.
We can't. He's got two goals ruled off in this one. Absolute idiot. Yeah, yeah. What are you doing? So you can't really go there. Harvey Barnes came on for Gordon on 63 minutes and Gordon got booked, so he got one pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Could have had multiple goals. Realistically, that front line you can't invest in.
So what are we saying then? Foden to Bruno Guimaraes?
I'm saying that.
I hear.
I'm saying that that's not a bad idea.
Okay. All right. Anything to say about Palace other than they're just, they need holiday, don't they?
Well, I've kept Gaye because he's apparently might go to you lot.
He won't. He'd be mad to come to us, wouldn't he, right now? Bloody
Why?
Hell.
Have you seen Palace? They're right in the mud.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, that's enough of that nonsense. Let's get on to these game week scores.
Oh, but it's wrong, mind Lee.
Well, we'll talk about it live if you want to. 46.
I better get it up so I can talk about it properly.
46, pretty average, to be honest with you. My transfers in this week were Raya to Verbruggen, so I'm glad that that came off. And I also did... who did I take out for Gabriel? Remind me.
Virgil.
Virgil, of course, yeah. Virgil out for Gabriel.
So actually, have Virgil for so long?
Because I've got bias, haven't I, clearly. So those two worked out all right. I'm pretty happy with that. And I've got Gabrielle in now ahead of what will inevitably be another price rise, you know, another 0.2 price rise between now and next game week. So I know that you're talking about maybe not getting him this week, but by the time you get him, he's going to be 7 mil, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be so expensive.
I appreciate that you will, yeah.
So there's that. So yeah, 46, pretty crap, to be honest with you. It would have been a lot better. I mean, if Nico had right, that's cost me... With the Foden point as well, that's cost me 8 points, that Enzo goal, right? 8 points. So,
and Enzo's relatively popular himself anyway, so it's the swing is...
Yeah, it is. And then, you know, there's a lot that could have gone right. I mean, Wilson hits the bar, doesn't he? A Wilson brace, despite it being against Liverpool, would have been nice for FPL at least. Do Arsenal keep a clean sheet if Gabriel doesn't just pass it to Avanilson and maybe Timber gets some more points as well? I don't know. But anyway, not a very good week. I think when I look at it in the cold light of day and I go, well, you know, Gabriel 9, Verbruggen 7, you know, Rodgers and Wilson chipping in, it's not a catastrophic game week by any stretch of the imagination, but in a game week where I've not hit any of the big ones, like, it's the reason it's swingy is because I've not got a Rice or a Chow or a Thiago.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And a lot of, if you put together the effective ownership of them three,
yeah,
that's a big swing against you, yeah, right? If you've got one of those, you're about par. If you've got both, two of them, great. And if you've got three, you're cooking.
I don't know. I think if you've got one, you're laughing.
Even if you've got just one of them, you're good. Whereas I've got none of them, which is a problem. So, yeah, in the end, it's a small red down to 748. It's not great. It really isn't great at all. And when I think about what I'm going to do for next week, I probably am going to do that Ekotike to Rodgers move, to Watkins move. I've got two free transfers. I can't bring myself to spend any more transfers on my back line. Right, I've just got to leave it, haven't
so
I?
Many.
Just got to leave it. They're all playing at home. Tarkovsky's got Wolves at home. What could possibly go wrong? O'Reilly's got Brighton at home. The midfield kind of looks all right as well. Even Wilson at home to Chelsea looks okay. So if I stuck Rodgers, if I stuck Watkins in there instead of Ekotike and maybe captain him, That's maybe where I go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about your score then. What did it? How did you get
this
week? This
is wrong. It's all wrong.
Oh, go on then. What is your actual score?
43.
Oh, okay. Right. Same as me. What did we get? 46. Oh, a little bit more. Okay,
a little
fine.
Bit more. So 43. I'm actually the rank's wrong as well because it's basically 3 mil exactly now.
Oh, it's not that far wrong. Okay.
So, well, it's about 81k now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Up by about 81k on that. It's a real frustrating week, to be honest, because like you say, it's one of those, isn't it, where if Nico O'Reilly keeps that clean sheet, if that game finishes on 91, 92 minutes and he keeps the clean sheet, it's a green arrow.
Yeah.
It was green, it was all fine, and then it wasn't fine.
That is the difference for both of us, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and the same with Van de Ven. Because Van de Ven was on for an additional 4 points plus an extra bonus point, so he was on for another 5. So at one point, he was on 12.
No DEFCON for Van de Ven?
He got 9 DEFCON.
Oh,
so okay. So at one point, he was on 12 and sitting on 9 DEFCON. And I was thinking, right, we could easily have a 14-pointer on our hands here, and that would be wonderful. He's just got to make one more defensive contribution. Then not only does he not make the defensive contribution, but he concedes a goal. And it's like, right, okay, well, now he's back down to 7. So I'm not saying 7's bad. He's my 4.5 million defender. I'm very happy with 7. But it's still frustrating. Timber, obviously, I'm pleased that he picked up the DEFCON. Like, in some ways, it's good that the game didn't lock after that one, and so we can get that. Ray is a real, real frustration now. And this is why, when I look at my team, like, Raya, I want rid of. O'Reilly, I want rid of. Dorgu, I want rid of, but after the midweek round. I'm happy to hold him for Burnley, and then after that, I want rid of.
Disappointing pickup, hasn't he been so far? A couple of weeks in? I know it was only a short-term punt anyway.
It was only a three-week punt, but he has been really irritating. He's been really irritating for the first two of them. Foden, I want rid of. Rodgers can stay. Wirtz will probably stay, or even on wildcard, because it's Burnley up next and then leave after that. Bowen I want rid of. And then I look at my bench, and Gahey I need to deal with probably. I want rid of King. I want rid of Guillou. And this is why when I look at my team, I feel like the wildcard's needed. And I'm at that point in the season where I feel like if I go early with the wild card and I can get it right heading into game week 22, that will put me in a nice position to then really hit through the rest of the season, because something's got to change, because I'm just yo-yoing at the minute. Like, I was at 3.08 or something 2 weeks ago. Then midweek round, I jumped up to 282.8 million. I was thinking, yeah, that's looking better. And I'm back out again this week. And it's only a small back out again, but nonetheless, it's like 3% out.
Okay, so you think about playing the wild card a little bit earlier than many others will. What's going to make the difference then? So there's absolutely no point in you playing the wild card and just wild card into everyone else's team.
But no,
you've got to go for a Palmer and Bruno and people like that, right?
But why would you? I don't think you can go Bruno this week, because he doesn't play till Wednesday night. We're not going to hear from Amorim too far in advance of the deadline on Tuesday night.
Yeah, but you're not playing your wild card this week. It's the week after, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, because I don't think we'll have confirmation of what Bruno's doing heading into midweek. I want Chelsea to have a new manager before I invest in Palmer, which is not going to happen probably.
It's going to be Liam Rossini, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's probably, like, I would rather not invest in Chelsea for then Wednesday night. Let him come in, give him the FA Cup week, and then let's be investing. Like, I look at my, and then I can do all these other things around the edges that you can change. And I think it allows you to target back in. Plus, we'll be towards the end of January. That AFCON will be over. Players will be back. So you can really invest. We'll know what's happening with Semenyo, where he is, what's happening with Bournemouth, who they've brought in. I just think that this feels like the opportune moment to do it.
Would you get Salah? Because he had a great season, no doubt about it. He's had an okay AFCON from the bits that I've seen.
I don't know, honestly.
You'd be getting him on the basis of what he can do.
I think I'd more likely come out of a wild card with a lot of money in the bank. Because I think if I was to wild card, I'd have Bruno and I'd have Palmer and I'd have Rice.
Yeah.
And so and Haaland up top. But then the forwards up top with them probably would be cheap. Probably wouldn't be looking at the more expensive ones. And so I think when you look at it in the cold light of day, you probably could leave a load in the bank so that if Salah was necessary, you could get there. I don't think, given the situation with Liverpool and Salah when he left, I'm not 100% sure that he comes back and just goes straight back into the team again when he returns from AFCON.
Do you at least subscribe to that, what I'm saying, though, in terms of like, at 3 million, you've got to go massively against
You've got to go massively.
Okay, the question is, at what stage do you go massively against the template then?
But that's not me as an FPL manager, despite what you think. Like, you wanted me to triple captain Foden a few weeks ago. That's just not me. I'm not that type of manager. For me, it's always been, I'll keep a spine of the team that is going to protect rank. Because there are certain assets that if you take them out, they massively hurt. So you keep them as a spine. But then I think this season, there's probably only four or five of them. And then around that, you have the fun picks, the ones that are lowly owned that you can do something with. And I think that for me is where my team is lacking at the minute. Like, most of the hard, heavily owned players that I have until Gabriel came back, I was covered fairly well with those. Gabriel coming back is a problem that I need to sort out for sure. But the trouble I've got with this team at the minute is the fun picks, the ones that came in to do something and to make my team better. When I bought in the likes of Foden, he was lowly owned, but he's not done anything since then. Dorgu was one of those players that had the potential over these three games, playing on the wing because Mount wasn't there, to massively overachieve, and he hasn't done that. Bowen, the same, in the three fixtures that he's had the potential to do that and is lowly owned. So it's risk and reward, isn't it? Because what could easily happen by making your team too rogue is that you just don't move, which is what's happened with this team over the last couple of weeks. So I need to think really carefully about the wild card and when it gets played. In my head, I do think it's probably something that I will do midweek once we are into game week 21.
mm-hmm.
And have it active for those 2 weeks over the FA Cup break. Would I like to wait till March? Yes, absolutely. Am I in a position where I think I can? Not unless I take a few hits. And so that's the big question is, and that's what I need to decide between now and Tuesday's deadline, is do I want to take a hit this week going into midweek?
Let's have a look. This is your busting for next week, by the way, on screen.
Yeah, because if I do want to take a hit going into midweek, then maybe I can delay the wildcard for an extra week or two if I take a hit coming into game week. If I was to take a -4 every week for the next 3 weeks, I probably can delay the inevitable wildcard for an extra month. So
you're
it's
taking a hit every week for the next 3 weeks. Is that...
Well, that's what I mean.
That's like, mad. You just wildcard.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. That's the point. So I think you can do hits galore. Like, and I know that for some managers that really works. But for me, it doesn't really. It's not going to shift things enough. And I look at that team for midweek and I'm like, it's all right. Like, do I love the double Arsenal defence alongside Saka playing against Wirtz? Not really. Will I play all three of them? Yes. Do I wish I had Rice and Gabriel? Yes. Can I get to them easily? No. So I could go Timber to Gabriel. I could do that. That would cover out the Gabriel thing.
Yeah.
But on another day, Timber gets something, as we saw last week. I don't mind playing Van de Ven away at Bournemouth because Bournemouth are conceding, particularly from set pieces. So, you know, we could have something out of him there. Wirtz, fine. Rodgers, I like for this week. I could captain him. That might be the way I try and differentiate my team for this week, is to maybe move the armband a little bit. Bowen and Dorgu, they're in last chance saloon.
I definitely would be. Like, I mean, you're at 3 minutes. You've got nothing really to lose now. I mean, I would be... We've got, 18 game weeks left. The gap between ranks is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You could...
It's 25 points.
You could have had Chow this week and it would have, you know, only made... It would have made a difference, right? But not a massive difference, right? Those that have
no,
got...
No, it would. It would have made a massive difference.
Would it? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Because... So there's 24 points between me and 2 million in the world.
Okay.
So actually, if you had 17 points out of Chow, that's a million places nearly out of my rank.
Mm.
So what you're saying is wrong. There is still massive potential to gain rank in a game week. And you move quite easily if you're on the right players. Now, the problem I have with my team is that they're not the right players. So the best way to get on the right players is to use the wild card at this point. That's why we have it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Tell everyone what is coming up this week, Sam, in the wonderful world of FPL Family.
Oh, it's another
game week.
It's another game week and another busy week. So there will be two official FPL pods this week. One tomorrow morning, which will be out tomorrow afternoon with Jules, Kelly and I. And then we'll be back again on Thursday morning. So we'll do a review preview tomorrow and then a review chip strategy chat on Thursday to kind of set the scene for the FA Cup weekend and then back into game week 22 afterwards. I'm also doing a very early Sky Sports News on Tuesday morning at 8:30.
Oh, yeah.
8.
All right, very good.
Getting up at the crack of dawn to drive to Austerlitz.
To get down there for 8:30. Yeah, that's no joke, is it? Mm-hmm. Oof, that's an early morning.
So I'm going to have a very busy start to the week. And then As and I will be back with the Scout Q&A on Thursday. I know a lot of you missed it last Thursday. We were allowed to have New Year's Day off because we did Boxing Day. So we will be back on Thursday doing that. And then obviously it's FA Cup weekend, so no content and no live stream next Sunday. But we will be back a week on Sunday when game week 22 is finished. We will also put out Ohana in the aftermath of whatever happens between Liverpool and Arsenal on Thursday night.
That is going to be worth a listen, that, folks. Yeah, if you think that I'm passionate about Liverpool on these live streams, imagine it. Because we will, like, the full-time whistle will go and we'll just put the mics on and we'll just start. So, yeah, if you're not a patron follower... get over to patreon.com/FPL family. Just create an account, a free account, right? You haven't got to pledge any money or anything. We give out we create the Ohana podcast. That's our game week preview podcast every single Thursday. So you haven't got to pledge any money or anything. You just need to create an account. You go and sign up for that. You become a free FPL family patron. You'll get access to that podcast. So I will go live. We will go live as soon as the full-time whistle goes at Arsenal-Liverpool. So you will get a very raw and probably quite emotional reaction, whether we've won or lost, quite frankly.
Yeah. And obviously, if I wildcard during the FA Cup weekend or FA Cup break, I will do a little video and put some stuff up on socials just to update you on how that wildcard is looking. But I think unless something goes ridiculously right in midweek, I still think it's likely that
gonna I'll be wild card
I'll
time.
Be wild card
All right. Well, there we go, guys. That is the pod. That is the video for this week. Well done. Frankly, a bonkers game week. A real, real crazy game week. Very high variance. If you're up in the sort of 60s, 70s, 80s, unbelievably good stuff. Unbelievably good stuff. And if you're down in the doldrums with us in the sort of 30s, 40s, 50s, don't worry. It's the sort of game week where it could just happen. It can just happen. It can, a couple of game weeks from now, it could be the opposite. You could be on all the right players, yep, and not the wrong
absolutely
ones, right? So it's just going to be one of those game weeks. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll see you back here next Sunday
Sunday after.
We'll see you in 2 weeks, right? Because it's FA Cup next weekend, of course. So, yeah, the best way to keep in touch with us is the Ohana podcast, as I mentioned before, over on Patreon. And then we'll be back in 2 weeks with a look at whatever the hell game week that is.
What 22.
Is that? Game week 22. All right, we'll see you then. Cheers, guys. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. See you
Bye,
soon.
Bye, everyone.